question this hour is as follows. What does John McCain have to do in order to come from behind and win this thing? Carol in Florida says, fortunately, I don't think there's anything he can do at this point. McCain has run one of the most vicious, ugly, filthy campaigns most of us have ever seen when he promised in the beginning to have a decent and respectful campaign. He picked a running mate who's unqualified, uneducated, and totally inappropriate. I'm not sure this woman could lead a choir, let alone this country. Whew. Matt in Lorain, Ohio. Jack, the only way he could possibly pull this off is if he bushes his way into office. By bushing, I mean lie, steal, and cheat his way to victory. Toby in New Orleans. To win, McCain has to fly to Pakistan and single-handedly capture Osama bin Laden. Anything short of that, he loses November 4th. Greg says, fire Palin, sell 10 of his houses, 15 of his cars, and start telling us the truth. And Peebo writes, there's nothing in the world McCain can do now besides getting as chummy as possible with old man Diebold and to begin pre-perforating some chads.
So, I mean, this is really almost insulting to one's intelligence.
What is wrong with you people?
What is wrong with you?
There's something very wrong with these people.
That's a pretty good line.
She is the former star of the hit sitcom Too Close for Comfort. He was voted Variety Entertainer of the Year in the Excellence in the Arts Awards. Now they have joined forces.
No!
For a political talk radio show? From the East Coast to the West, all across America, two voices of logic and reason, live from the entertainment capitals of the world.
We'll do it live!
Lydia Cornell and Doug Basham.
I will veto every single beer.
My fellow prisoners.
Well, let's get to it, folks. It's another brand new day here in George W. Bush's America. If you're up to it, we have work to do. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Doug Basham in Las Vegas. Lydia has the day off, therefore I alone welcome you to yet another edition of the award-winning Basham and Cornell Show. The website is www.bashamandcornell.com. That's spelled B as in Bob, A-S-H-A-M as in Mary, and A-N-D, Cornell, C-O-R-N-E-L-L, bashamandcornell.com. The address to email us on the air or off is show, S-H-O-W, show at bashamandcornell.com. Quick guest update, folks. Tomorrow, acclaimed prosecutor and author Vincent Bugliosi will make his second appearance on the show. Vincent successfully prosecuted 105 of 106 felony jury trials, including 21 murder convictions without a single loss. The most famous of those being, of course, the Charles Manson trial, which then led to his book Helter Skelter, which became the biggest-selling true crime book in publishing history. Vincent's new book, of course, is titled The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. Hey, folks, joining us now to put a different spin on this year's presidential election is the very popular and nationally known intuitive numerologist and medium, Monica Sepulveda. She's also been rated one of the top psychics in the country. She's going to tell us what our two presidential candidates' numbers reveal about them. Monica, nice to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I want to save the winning candidate for last and start with the runner-up, shall we say. What do John McCain's numbers tell us about him that we haven't perhaps heard in his stump speeches, or that maybe even those of us who have studied and watched this guy like a hawk might not yet know?
Well, John Sidney McCain, his heart's desire is a one, which means he wants to lead. His personality is the three, which means people really, you know, like him. And his destiny is the four, the 22-4, which is the call to master builder. Now, what this means is that, you know, he truly wants to make a difference. His pinnacle is a nine, which is humanitarian. However, what undermined McCain is that there is a difficulty with his discipline, his emotions, and he's not balanced. And what happens is that when he goes into panic mode, he makes the worst decisions. Mm-hmm. So he's not good or as commander of chief. He also, when I looked at Sarah Palin's numbers, he picked the wrong person. You know, she's clearly a leader and she will evolve eventually, but she's 10 years ahead of her time. You know, her pinnacle's an eight, which just shoots her right into the limelight. But right now, it's kind of like the young soul. She's only about me, 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 as opposed to other people. Those are her intentions, but what happens is her self-centeredness has overpowered the other part that is somewhat humanitarian. She's just hasn't evolved yet. So he picked the worst running mate, which is totally going to undermine him.
Yeah, and that's kind of being reflected in the polls, too.
Yeah, and this is why I did the numbers on him, because I thought, wow, let me see, you know, if it reveals similar things. You know, after she got married, her numbers, of course, changed, because then she takes on the name Palin from Sarah Louise Heath to Sarah Louise Heath Palin. And so what happens is her destiny becomes an 8, which means she wants the spotlight. And this woman will do whatever it takes to get the spotlight. She is someone right now that, like I said before, you know when a person's like a teenager and they're just very adolescent, self-centered, they don't really have a whole lot of empathy or a whole lot of, they can't connect to other people.
Teenager, I'm still in that stage.
Well, so am I. But, you know, we do grow with,
yes,
the, you know.
Yeah.
With
we learn to hide it better as we get older.
Yeah, grow with, yeah, a little wisdom, you know. And so what happens is after age 50 for her, she's going to start, you know, probably learning from some difficult lessons, because I don't think it's going to be easy for her. I don't think she's going to, you know, shoot into stardom and become like the next president or anything. No, it's going to take quite a bit of time.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because a lot of people are saying, oh, she's clearly the front runner for 2012. And I don't buy that for one second.
Oh, not at all.
I think after this election, and I don't know if this is so much my hope or my prediction, but I think that Sarah Palin will mercifully just fade into the
into
background.
Alaska. Yeah, she'll go in an igloo or something. And yeah, she's going to fade. But, you know, that was probably his worst decision. But let me tell you about something about John McCain. Mm-hmm. What happens is that he has a lot of qualities that are really, really good. But what happened is that he started listening to his handlers, mm-hmm, and his advisors, who actually are more like mindset, a Bush mindset. And what happened is he lost control. So he's conflicted inside about doing what's right and doing what's wrong. This is why initially he started off with, I'm going to run a clean campaign. And then all of a sudden, when these Bush people took over, Roe people took over his campaign, you know, he basically let them run him. And that's what happened. That's why you see two different people.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe that, because I have done my best over the years, even though I'm clearly a partisan Democrat, I have done my best to like John McCain, because what he went through, I think, deserves a certain amount of respect, no matter what he does after that. You know, there was an article circulating a few weeks ago by somebody who actually was supposed to be in charge of this prison camp he was held at, mm-hmm, and he was saying, oh, we never tortured McCain. And I didn't even touch that story, because my attitude was, you know what, so what? He spent 5.5 years in the prison camp. That alone is torture.
Absolutely. I mean, he was tortured for 2.5 years. Of those 5.5, that's a fact as well. You know, one of my acquaintances was the longest held prisoner in Vietnam, Everett Alvarez Jr. He was there for 12 years, and he wasn't the same person. You know, post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah.
That lasts all your life. And
I can see that. But then I would have to ask, would an experience like that, how would that affect his numerology? I mean, wouldn't that change things that you wouldn't normally see in the numbers?
Absolutely. It affects him emotionally and mentally. But, you know, it shows his life as being difficult. But still, he strives. He's a very tough person. And he is able to come from behind and make differences. But not this time. The problem is he's not running his own campaign. Other people are. And they've made bad choices. Plus, he made the worst choice. And I don't think that she was his choice. I think he wanted someone else. But
yeah,
what I'm looking at, because I'm using numerology,
that's
and
what
my
the
intuition.
Insider rumors are, that he actually wanted Joe Lieberman or Tom Ridge, and the powers that be said, no, you
right.
can't. You know?
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't thinking for himself. And what I'm using is my numerology and my intuition together. And they are so compatible. I mean, they're both right on target. There's no opposition in any of them. So,
okay.
That's where he undermined himself, is by picking her.
All right, let's move on to the winner of next Tuesday's election. I'm a little presumptuous, aren't I?
No, that's okay. It's your gut. You know what
do Barack Obama's numbers tell us about him that we might not already know?
Amazing. His heart's desire is a 9. And in numerology, the 9 is the number that has to do with humanitarianism, giving your life to the public in order to make their lives better. Hello? Does that fit or what?
Yeah.
His personality is a 1. And in numerology, the number was run 1 through 9. 1 means self, 9 means others. So he will go back and forth, my God, should I do this for me or them, me or them? No, I got to do this for them. And the reason that supports that is because his birthday, which is August the 4th, 1961, totals to an 11, and that's called an ascended number. And
uh-oh,
the 11 is a number of inspiration.
Ah.
This is why so many people are drawn to him. He's very hardworking, and get this, In 2009, he goes into his personal 5-year, and the 5-year has to do with change of residence and occupation. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Wow.
And people change their jobs and they change their location or home in a personal 5-year, and he goes into a 5-year in January. So I thought that was interesting, where McCain is not. And Sarah Palin is not either. I think she goes into a 6-year, which means that she's going to go back to taking care of family.
and not just her own.
And John McCain goes into a 3, which is going to be very emotional for him. So I really suspect that he's going to start having some health problems, too.
That's what people have suspected either way, you know, whether he wins or loses.
Well, the 3-year is very emotional. And when a person is devastated and they have, because this is the last time he's going to be able to run for president. He's not going to do it again.
Right.
So, you know, what's going to happen is this blow for him is really going to affect him. He's going to go through a lot of introspection and really look at what happened. And it looks like it might take it out on his health. And, you know, of course, I don't want that for him. But, you know, he's a very intense person and very emotional.
Okay, if I can move from the numerology to the psychic aspect of your expertise, what do you see happening in a Barack Obama presidency?
Well, I feel like he's going to be able to, you know, and I just don't want anyone to think he's going to be assassinated. He's not. He's very well protected. And so nothing crazy like that's going to happen. And I know a lot of people have been concerned about that.
Well, yeah, especially when we heard that report the other day that the ATF had broken up a plot to assassinate him.
Yeah, an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
They were, you know, it was at the beginning of the plot. I heard the story, too. So anyway, what's going to happen is that, you know, he will follow through on a lot of his promises. It's going to take a while. It's not going to happen right away. But what's going to happen is that you're going to see a shift, I think, primarily in the attitudes of people. You know what happened? It's kind of like people were in a coma for 8 years, and all of a sudden people are waking up out of that coma and saying, what happened?
Yeah.
This is why you're going to see a huge turnout with younger voters, and you're going to see a huge turnout in general with more Democrats, because I think they're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, and, so what's and we're happen- seeing that already in the and early voting.
So the first thing that came to my mind in Obama administration is unity. I felt his ability to inspire are going to, over a period of time, are going to inspire and keep people in a place of hope, rather than the last 8 years it's been more about fear. And
right.
You remember the terror alerts, you know, the yellow alert, orange alert, red alert,
right,
you know, that
right.
kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
That stuff's going to go away. It was designed primarily to keep people fearful, because when you keep people fearful, you can control them.
Yeah.
But I see Obama as a complete antithesis of that. He's all about hope and inspiration and believing in himself. So I feel that who he is and his message about uniting people will really change and shift the energy. And that makes a big difference on this planet. When you shift energy like that, it actually has healing qualities.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Look, Monica, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and giving us a different perspective on this year's election. We'll take you at your word. I like what you said.
Anytime you want me on, I'm here. I also do predictions for NFL.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or Oscars, or, you know, that kind of fun stuff. I'm an NFL girl, though. My team sucks, but, you know, I'm an NFL girl.
Well, I'll take you up on that.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Monica. I appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Take care. That was Monica Sepulveda, folks, popular and nationally known intuitive numerologist and medium. She's also been rated one of the top psychics of the country. I'm going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I hope to have another surprise guest for you. Back momentarily. Stay with us. It is now 18 minutes after the hour here on AM 1230 KLAV in Las Vegas. I'm Doug Basham. Lydia has the day off. Joining us now is an expert in the arts of both facial profiling and handwriting analysis, which is used, by the way, by the FBI and other organizations to solve crimes and profile people being considered for sensitive government positions. Her name is Christina Powell. She joins us now. Christina, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm curious to know, is this something that can be done by examining photographs of the person? I mean, you don't have to actually be sitting across from the person whose face you're profiling, do you?
That's correct, and that's the genius of it. You don't need to have the person in front of you. You don't even have to give them a personality test and depend on whatever answers they might want to give you, which could be true or false. And you just can't lie about your face. There it is.
Okay. Now, I'm also curious to know, how easy is it to profile the face of someone like John McCain when his face has been altered so much, not only by age, but by surgery? And, you know, after that, what does your profiling of his face tell you?
Well, it doesn't matter how his face got to be how it is, whether it is from surgery or from injury. you're still going to manifest those different personality traits. And people's faces do change over time, as you probably are aware.
Yeah, I've noticed looking in the mirror.
Right? And not just because of gravity or age with lines and sags and so on, but your personality can change, and it can change your face, and vice versa. So as your face changes, as we age and our personality changes, it actually shows up in our face.
Okay. Well, now, what when you look at John McCain's face and you profile it, what do you see?
Well, we see some interesting things, like a rounded forehead. And when a round forehead is apparent in a person, that's the preserver type. That's the person who likes to maintain things. So they will keep up on what's going on at the moment, but not really want to change things. Interestingly enough, and that is actually in a big contrast compared to Senator Obama, who has a more squared off forehead and a square straight hairline. And people with that trait, they actually like change. And that's one interesting thing that we notice about the two of them. Their faces match their messages. They're totally congruent.
Right.
Obama wants a lot of change, and McCain says, yeah, well, some change is good, but not too much, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think McCain has kind of adapted the change mantra more for expediency than sincerity.
Right. Maybe because that's what we want right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's kind of playing to the tone that's been set by, unfortunately, 8 years of George Bush.
That's so true.
You know? Now, have you had a chance to analyze John McCain's handwriting at all?
I have not seen it much yet, actually. I have not.
Okay. Well, now, what about Barack Obama? When we get back to the facial profiling, other than, you know, the element of change, what else can you tell us?
Well, in Obama's face, again, we see a lot of straightness and squareness. For example, his brows are straight. His nostrils are mostly square. The hairline and the forehead nice and straight and square. And that suggests a person who's very objective. He likes to act based on his ideas as opposed to emotions. Now, that doesn't mean he's only a thinker and never allows himself to feel. It really just means he likes to base his opinions on data and on knowledge. And interestingly enough, people with a lot of squareness like that in the face, they're the starters, they're the builders, they take on new projects, they have endless ideas of all the wonderful things they want to accomplish. But there's always a downside to almost every facial feature that you see. And one would be for him that they don't always like to get the project done before they move on to the next one. So you might start off with a new project and then say, oh, okay, I want to do something else now, whether it's getting bored or not seeing the end goal and appreciating that. They might say, yeah, let's move on. I'm tired of this. Let's do something different. So he would want somebody in his camp that does have roundness in his face, who is a maintainer. Biden actually has a lot of squareness in his features, too. So he may have the same tendency to begin without finishing. However, Michelle Obama has a lot more roundness in her face, so perhaps as First Lady, she would keep him on track.
Right. Now, in the email I sent to you, I included both Lydia's and my picture.
Right.
Yeah. I'm almost afraid to ask. So let's start with Lydia. What can you tell us about Lydia by looking at her face and profiling?
Sure. Well, actually, I am looking at your website photos. I hope they are accurate, do you think?
Oh, they are.
Oh, good. Okay.
Unfortunately, yes.
Now, I heard that Lydia is not with us today. Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, great. So I could say whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Wait till you hear what I say when you and I are finished. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wait till we get to you. Oh, tons of fun. Well, Lydia has a pointed chin. So there are, as always, with all facial features, good size and bad size. And at her best, she likes to obtain her goals. She works really hard to get what she wants, and mm-hmm. she loves working with ideas. And when she's challenged, she will totally stand by her ideals. Her challenges with that pointed chin, though, may be resistance to interference with her goals. She may be very controlling and sometimes inflexible. And she might be slow to let other people's opinions in. Very, very pointy chin people, maybe even domineering and ruthless. I don't know that about Lydia. She's not a super pointy person, but, for example, if anybody wanted to Google Arsenio Hall, he's got about the pointiest chin I've ever seen.
Yeah, he had to register that as a concealed, or not a concealed, an unconcealed weapon, I heard.
That's right.
Yeah, that thing can do damage. I remember seeing him on TV. You're right.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you can grab him by his ankles and use him to pick up trash. I'm sorry, that's a bad thing to say.
Too inaccurate, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lydia also has very large eyes, and most of her iris shows, and that means that she's very charming and family-oriented and protective of her loved ones, very generous with them. She also can be sensitive and can use her emotions to process the world. That all can give her leadership qualities and a lot of courage. Mm-hmm. She's very affectionate, romantic, loving, But on the other side of the fence, of course, we can be seeing too much sensitivity, being too emotional, and even occasionally being gullible with those very large eyes. But that's offset by the pointed chin, so that probably won't get her into too much trouble there.
Hmm. Okay. Now, while we're on the subject, now you can turn your attention to me.
Okay. Super.
And remember, I am here today. No.
Yeah, that's right.
Hold nothing back, Christina. Hold nothing back. I can take it. I'm a big boy now.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, you have attached earlobes, and there's a couple of different interesting meanings to that. One is the bad boy, right? The person who doesn't always follow the rules, who's a bit on the rebellious side. And the attached earlobes will also mean that you are very attached to your family. Do you think that's accurate for you?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, all right.
So it suggests attachment then. I'm a leech, is that what you're saying?
No. You do are concerned with what their opinions are. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to run to your mommy every time you want to make a decision about something, but
right.
You will take those things into account, you know, asking your various different family members what's important to them and do at least some things based on that.
Right.
And we see that in your square and straightish chin, too, that, you know, you're principle-oriented. And actually, you'll act based on objectives. You like to base your choices on ideas and not emotions so much. And you're not afraid to voice your opinion. You're great at debate. And that's probably why you're in radio. In fact, we see that in your eyebrows, too. But I'll get to that in a minute. But
those eyebrows were made for debating, Christina.
That's right. Well, in your chin, remember, there's the bad side. You can be combative if people don't agree with you, even argumentative. No, not you.
Me? Argumentative? Combative?
Argumentative. Well, that's perfect for radio, isn't
you
it?
You must be looking at the wrong picture.
Well,
I'm
how
as
about
docile,
your eyebrows?
Docile as a dove.
Ah,
no.
Well.
No, actually, I do like to fight. I do like to argue. I do like to debate. I like to get cantankerous at times.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, some people do it and then wish afterwards they hadn't. I enjoy it.
Right, right. You feel it's not an argument, it's a debate.
Exactly.
It's fun. It's, you know, proving a point or disproving a point as opposed to hurting somebody's feelings. And it's more objective
for
you.
Well, I'm not beneath including that element, too.
A little jab here and there.
If
hey,
the
no
opportunity
problem.
Presents itself, I'm not one to ignore it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well, is that true? Because your eyebrows tell me that you can make other people feel at ease. And I think that is actually true, too, here. You can fit in almost anywhere. You're a skilled conversationalist. That's why, again, you're a radio host. You know how to fulfill your goals, but diplomatically. You don't tend to, you know, hurt people's feelings, generally speaking.
Oh yes. Diplomacy is my middle name.
Great.
Well, no, I can be diplomatic when the need arises.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't always arise on talk radio because sometimes it's best to have a spat. But you're right. When the need arises, I can be as diplomatic as the next guy.
Excellent. And when it comes to those different, arguments, or rather, excuse me, debates, you're not easily unsettled or demoralized if maybe somebody proves a point better than you do.
Okay.
You can take it, in other words, you can take it on the chin.
Sure. Yeah. Because it's not pointed.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's square.
Now, I have a question for you. What can you tell us if you profile Sarah Palin's picture or face?
Ah, well, actually, she has some interesting cheekbones. Have you noticed how they stand out and how strong they are? Those are power cheeks. And actually, Michelle Obama has them, too. This is a person who really wants to express their opinion, to hold authority. They're not shy to give orders. They will speak up whenever they feel a need. In fact, they can even be bossy. She also has a really strong jawline. Successful politicians very often have this. It makes them, however, competitive and can be very rigid in their beliefs. They have a lot of integrity, but they can be very stuck in their own way. And we see that with the very square, heavy jaws. And we see that in McCain's face, actually. So between the strong, square jaw and the prominent cheeks, that's a very intense person who's very business-oriented and desires leadership. Doesn't mean they're going to be good at it, but they want it. And we actually see that in a lot of politicians, for better or for worse,
yeah.
Those square jaws and big cheeks.
I can imagine. Something else I read in your bio is that you also use facial profiling to help people choose dates.
That's right.
That sounds interesting. Now, if somebody, God forbid, was considering dating me, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say that she needs to go get some plastic surgery because she should look just like you.
Oh, ouch.
No, seriously. I would say, you know, this is not somebody who's going to be overly emotional about things. He'll be a little bit guarded. We can see that in the way you kind of hold your eyes a little bit on the closed side. Now, that's normal for men. Most men do tend to hold their eyes a little more closed than open, and that means they're tending to want to be protective of themselves and even other people, too. So
part of that might be is, you know, whenever the camera is turned on me, I mean, I spent the majority of my life working on stage, so I'm used to posing for pictures. And when someone gets in front of me with a camera, I immediately break into my stage photo shoot smile, and that tends to close my eyes a bit.
And how about, a lot of bright light,
less
too,
room
right?
for the eyes when you're, you know, opening your mouth as wide as you can smiling.
Right. Right. So, you know, again, I would say to her, he's not going to be super open in the beginning, at least. Once he gets to know you, then he'll be more comfortable about telling you more about himself. Also, watch out because he's kind of intuitive. Don't lie to him because he's going to know if you are.
Mm. Well, that's cool. Hey, look, Christina, I have to take my second check on traffic. Can you hang with me for a few minutes?
You bet.
Okay, we'll do our second check on traffic, folks. We'll continue on the other side. We're visiting with Christina Powell. She is, amongst other things, a facial profiler. Back after traffic. Stay with us.
Las Vegas City Life is the city's first, most widely read, and only true alternative weekly newspaper. Whether it's breaking news, hard-hitting opinions, or arts and entertainment coverage that is unmatched in Las Vegas, City Life is your newspaper. If you're sick and tired of the mainstream press and 10-second sound bites, if you're looking for a progressive source of news in Las Vegas, look no further. You found Las Vegas City Life.
And now here's editor Steve Sebelius to tell us what we can expect in this week's edition of Las Vegas City Life. Steve?
Thanks, Doug. In this week's Las Vegas City Life, we take a look at people who dump trash out in the desert. Why you ought to care, because it's costing you. We also reveal that Nevada Power is about to close its main office to customers. If you want to pay a bill or get some information, you're going to have to go to a grocery store. Columnist Hugh Jackson says that Republicans should lose because their ideas are just plain old and wrong. That's it all in this week's Las Vegas City Life.
Thanks, Steve.
Las Vegas City Life, the original and still the best.
28 minutes, almost 27 minutes before the top of the hour here on AM 1230 KLAV in Las Vegas. I'm Doug Basham. I am visiting presently with Christina Powell. She is an expert in the arts of both facial profiling and handwriting analysis. Christina, did you happen to get that email I sent you during the break?
Sure did. Yeah, I've got her picture right here.
One of my dear friends in New Mexico, Christy, sent me her picture. Well, I actually have her picture here. She said, send Christina my picture. I want to know what she thinks of me.
Oh, excellent.
So what can you tell us about Christy that she may not even know?
Well, first of all, the picture is a little, it's got some glare to her face, so it's keeping a few things from me. There's a few features I can't determine, but I still see quite enough, I think, to entertain everybody and amuse Christy at least. And one thing that I see is that her forehead gets more narrow as it goes up to the top toward the hairline. And that suggests a kind of impulsive person, and somebody who doesn't want to hear long speeches about things and how they work and so on. If she's going to buy a car, for example, she doesn't want to know, you know, is it a V8 or a V6 and all that other mechanical stuff. She wants to know, is it going to get me from A to B in style at a price that I can afford? So you got to get to the point with Christy. She wants to know just enough detail for her to make a smart decision.
Okay.
She also has in her eyes what we call critical perception, so she's really great at seeing details. If something's wrong, she'll catch it right away. Maybe in, you know, if a picture frame is crooked, she'll want to fix that. And on a better side, if she were into something like sewing, you know, she would notice if the seam is off. But critical perception people can also see too much. You know, sometimes it bothers them that they see a lot of negative things so easily.
Now, could a person like this also be predisposed to maybe overanalyze things?
That's right, exactly.
Okay.
So she may sometimes find things
because
where...
Because that I know to be true about Christy.
Right. She may find sometimes things to be not... she may believe something, but it's not really true.
Okay.
Like somebody's made a face and they're thinking of me, but they're really thinking about something else. if maybe they had a frown on their face, you think, oh, are they mad at me for some reason? But it's really something completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sure. She has an oblong face, and that can make her sensitive, too. But that also can make her very farsighted, so she'll plan well. And also in her teeth, as well as the face, we see she's organized and practical, very methodical and deliberate. Probably pretty hardworking, grounded person. She likes success, and it can come pretty naturally to her. And her challenges in the oblong face would be that she can be overly excitable, maybe sometimes even a little bit aggressive. There can be a little bit of vanity there, having to win, competitiveness. So we see that in oblong faces in general. In the teeth, we mentioned, you know, balance, and she's got some pretty nice, even teeth. As far as I could tell from the picture, that makes her more logical, self-confident. She picks up life lessons very quickly and makes her decisions with confidence and poise. So that's what we see in the teeth.
Okay, I'm curious to know, because one thing I've noticed about John McCain in some of his speeches is that his left, and I'm wondering if facial profiling can speak to any health-related issues, because I've noticed he'll be speaking and in the middle of a speech, and his left eye will start to blink almost uncontrollably by itself, not in tandem with the right eye, and the left side of his mouth, it will almost grimace and go back to, in that direction. And of course, that's the side he had his major melanoma surgery on. And I'm wondering if that could be a health-related thing. Is that anything that your expertise can speak to?
Yes, actually, we can see health in faces. In fact, that's why the Chinese started reading faces way back when, like 2700 BCE, I believe it was. And they were looking for what was wrong on the inside with their internal systems and organs. And along the way, they came to realize, oh, we can also see intelligence and energy levels, spending habits, work ethics, and so on. But originally, they wanted to determine health in faces because they weren't allowed to touch their female patients. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
Well, and when we see in a person's face, you know, those movements, yeah, that probably is nerve damage. It could be something worse. What? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Generally, when there's a tick like that and the uncontrollable blinking and grimacing on one side of the face or the other, there might be something wrong with the opposite side of the brain.
Right.
You know, the right side of the brain controls the left side of the face and vice versa. So maybe damage to that side of his head when he was a POW, maybe that's causing that.
Yeah.
But also, when we think about body language, we can get tics for a number of other reasons as well, when we're nervous, and then also when we're really stressed out. A lot of college students, they'll find their eye, you know, gets a little tick in it every now and then when they're going through exam time, for example.
Right.
So there are a lot of different things it could be. When it comes to symmetry in the face, when we have a very symmetrical face, that is a more balanced person. When we see a lot of asymmetry in the face, it's a moodier person, someone who, you know, is fine one moment and very excited the next, willing to give in one moment and very dominant and stubborn the next moment.
Yeah.
So that's what asymmetry means, is a temperamental side. And John McCain, aside from the movements that we see on the left side of the face, he actually has some pretty good structural symmetry, but in the major features, the eyebrows, eyes, nose, lips, and so on. But then on when it comes to the texture, he's rough and uneven in some places and even and smoother in other places, and then the dimples and cavities that we see in the face lead to some asymmetry, which suggests that he'll be very moody.
Ah, okay. You know, Krista gave me an idea. I think I should have you back sometime, and we'll have listeners email their photos, and maybe you can read our listeners for them.
Excellent. I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Well, look, Christina, I want to thank you for stopping by and sharing your expertise with us, and please come back and see us again.
Thanks again, Doug, and have a great day.
Hey, you too. Take care.
Take care.
That is Christina Powell, folks. She's an expert in the arts of both facial profiling and handwriting analysis. We're coming up on our traffic break. Before we do, I have a couple announcements I want to pass on to you. First of all, video the vote. They are still looking for people here in Las Vegas and other parts of the state, i.e. Elko, Carson City, Reno, etc., to video any problems people might have at the polls. If you have a video camera, you'd like to help, or you know someone who has a camera and they'd like to volunteer their services, call Eva at 702-210-2111. That number again, 702-210-2111. Also, the Barack Obama campaign here in Vegas is looking for volunteers to reach out to undecided voters or to reinforce amongst Democratic voters the importance of turning out this year and voting for Barack Obama. Like I keep saying, folks, we have won the registration battle. There's one left, the voting battle. We don't win that. We don't win the election. It's looking good in early voting, but we still have the election next Tuesday. If you've got some time to spare, you'd like to put it to good use for your country, call 702-633-5193. Let them know your availabilities. That number again, 702 area code 633-5193. Also, something for any of our combination political junkies slash sports fans in our radio family. This is something from Josh Marshall's Talking Points Memo blog yesterday. The headline read, Obama hits one out of the park. Here's the rest of it. Major League Baseball has just announced that the final three innings of Game 5 of the World Series will be resumed at 8:37 p.m. on Wednesday night. That's tonight. The game was suspended Monday night on account of the weather, with the score tied at 2-2. The Tampa Bay Rays must win this game to stave off elimination and send the series back to Tampa. And then Josh writes, as I noted this morning, there's probably no man in America happier about all this than David Axelrod. And it's not just because the passionate Cubs fan has it in for the Phillies. Rather, it's because Obama's roadblocked half-hour program is set to air on CBS, NBC, and Fox on Wednesday night. ABC dithered until it missed its chance. That's why the usual start time of the game on Fox has been pushed from 8:20 to 8:37 p.m. The series delivers high ratings in some hard-to-reach demographics, but is a particularly big draw in the team's home markets. For Game 1, also on a Wednesday night, 31.5% of all households in Tampa and St. Pete tuned in, as well as 35.7% of households in the Philadelphia media market. It also played extraordinarily well in Orlando, Fort Myers, and West Palm Beach. That's an awful lot of swing state viewers who will turn on their televisions to catch the start of the game and find Obama delivering his closing message. Enough to make any long-suffering Cubs fan a little love for the neophyte Rays. What do the Rays have to do? I mean, if anything, it might make you a fan of Mother Nature and rain, but I don't think it has anything to do with the Rays. But his overall point is good. You turn on your television set to watch the final game of the World Series, and instead you hear an address by the next president of this country. And, you know, and unless I'm way off base here, folks, and we'll have to see if I'm right, I would expect his speechwriters, or Barack himself, I mean, he does write, you know, some of his own speeches, to include some kind of, oh, I don't know, maybe one-liner addressing the slight delay of the perhaps the final baseball game of the season. You know, something like, if you're wondering why I'm addressing you tonight before the fifth game of the World Series and not my opponent, it is because, quite frankly, my opponent cannot. You see, the day John McCain selected the completely unqualified governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, who calls herself a hockey mom, by the way, not a baseball mom, boo. Major League Baseball decided if that didn't qualify as a strikeout, nothing did. And so I'm happy to step up to the plate with you tonight at a time when our political landscape mirrors exactly that of this Major League Baseball season. We're down to the final innings. We're up by a couple of runs. We have the bases loaded. Even some of our opponent's supporters are cheering for us. And our opponents are throwing every kind of questionable and borderline fringe illegal pitch at us they can come up with. Fortunately, our opposition team's campaign season has earned them the nickname the gang who couldn't shoot or pitch straight. So we're feeling pretty good about the final outcome of our final political baseball game and our entire political baseball season. And then he can go into whatever speech he's got prepared, but I would start off with some good old-fashioned baseball talk before I got to the politics. Just an idea. We'll see if it happens. Hey, folks, 14 minutes, I should say 15 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to take our final check on traffic. When we come back, we'll open up our phone line, see what you folks have to say. 452-4503 is our local number. That's 452-4503. Long distance, toll-free, 1-888-898-DOUG, or if you prefer, 888-28-LYDIA. Back after traffic. Stay here. 14 minutes now before the top of the hour here on AM 1230 KLAV in Las Vegas. Doug Basham with you. Our phone lines are now open. The local number, 452-4503. That's 452-4503. Long distance toll free, 888-898-DOUG or 888-28-LIDDY. Let's start off with line number one. You're first up. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Steve.
You know, this facial analysis, I don't know how much I can trust her because she did a full-fledged thing on you, and the words Sonny Bono never crossed her lips.
Well, it's not a look-alike thing, Steve. It's a facial profiling. That probably goes without saying.
Hey, if I've got a double bet for you. If McCain wins, can you just say, I got you, babe, once?
Oh, if McCain wins, I'll sing the whole song.
As a matter of fact, I'll bet you, because you're so confident about Obama, I'll bet you $100 against 1 hour of your show. I take over 1 hour of your show, or I donate $100 to whatever commie, liberal, socialist cause you have.
They say we're young and we don't know. Huh? Okay. Now, say that again. If McCain wins, I was queuing up my piano here. Say it's,
McCain wins, I take over an hour of your show.
Okay.
I take over one show. With you there, that's all right. I mean, we could be there together. You know,
So confident that I will take that bet. Now, that is under the conditions. I mean, you don't get to do it yourself. I mean, I would be here, too.
We would be there, and I would be kind and considerate to your commie lib listeners today's flavor.
Steve, they would expect no less from a hardcore fascist. We appreciate that.
Yes, so it's $100 to your favorite commie lib organization, or one day, and preferably next Thursday, because that's my birthday, too. But I won't dictate.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If Barack Obama somehow manages to lose this election, you and I are on for next Thursday.
Okay. Now that you did that, I will call up my friends at DeBolt and steal this election, too.
I'm sure you will. Yep. Hey, Steve, you've actually been somewhat entertaining today. What happened? Did you take a chill pill, or is this a side of you we haven't seen too often?
I don't know. Maybe I borrowed some of the medicines that your listeners listen to. But I do have one question. Because
you borrowed some of the medicines my listeners listen to? My listeners don't listen to medication, Steve. We pop them. Swallow them. You know what I mean? They listen to the radio. They pop pills.
I would like to know. I mean, I understand why the losers are voting for Obama. I understand why my side is voting for McCain. I understand people who, you know, want free stuff from the government. I understand that. Can you explain to me, because I'm not getting it, who are all these people in the mushy middle? How can there be, like, Doug, I can't understand. I understand your point of view.
Are you talking about the people who are saying they're still undecided?
Yes.
You know, Steve, I have no answer for that. I have scratched my head over that. I would submit to you, and you'll probably agree with me, that anybody who's still in the middle is just kind of dimwitted. I mean, how can you still be in the middle after a campaign this long? I think these are people that are just craving attention, and this is the only way they can get it, by remaining on the fence. What do you think?
I think no matter what, whether you take my side that's trying to fix America, or your side that's trying to
After damn near destroying it, we might add.
Right. Well, any way you like. You know, the Supreme Court, all these things. I mean, how can you say, I can't see anyone listening to the two of us argue or whatever. We're not arguing today.
And not picking a side.
And not saying.
I agree.
Well, I don't know. It's awfully close. It's as close as, I mean, I don't know, are we going to have spaghetti or are we going to have French fries? I mean,
you're right. It's as close as night and day, or dare I say, black and white.
And I'll leave it at that, since too bad my dear future wife, Lydia, is not present. I will say that
case
I don't get to call and harass your show again, it's going to be a very scary Halloween, because it is very, very scary, because if I was really confident, I would have bet you $1,000.
Yeah, there you go. But, I knew you were showing some restraint there, Steve, and I appreciate it.
I had no choice, but I will say one thing about Sarah Palin. She is probably one of the few people that I might kick Lydia out of bed for to make room for.
Okay, well, you know what, Steve, that's a little more information than we probably care to hear. But anyhow, good talking to you. Sorry we won't be able to do the show together next Thursday, but unfortunately for you, this time the American people, with no help from today's conservative corporate-controlled media have kind of caught on to the fact that Republicanism, quite frankly, sucks. Lie number two, you're next up in the morning.
I take a newsletter that's financial, and I get it because he's an insider and tells the truth, but he is a rabid right-wing born-again Christian. Mm-hmm. So the latest newsletter, he spends two pages shredding Obama, and then he says, but a very important point that anti-McCain conservatives should keep in mind is that John McCain is in very poor health and may not finish out his term. I was shocked because it's not coming from a...
Now, what newsletter is this?
McElveny.
Oh, okay.
And he's very much of an insider, and he's very much right-wing. And it gives me the impression that guy knows something that we don't know.
Well, you know, I think it's evident just from watching McCain. I mean, I keep going back to the facial tics that we discussed earlier, but to me, the man looks like he's in pain. And I think he's being pushed beyond his, you know, his normal limits, and I think that's a shame.
Somebody described this three-year circus that no other country had put up with. It would kill a 40-year-old.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what they're going through day after day, off the train, off the bus, off the... Yeah. Open their mouth, make one slip, and they're finished?
I know.
Holy mackerel. Yeah. One other quick comment. The McCain's own 13 cars, 8 homes, and access to a corporate jet, and the Alaskan Barbie doll is spending $10,000 a month on her hairdos.
Mm, Lord.
So it is a joke. Cool. Yeah. What a mess.
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, that's all.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. 452-4503 is our local number. That's 452-4503. Long distance toll free, 1-888-898-DOUG or 888-28-LYDIA. Line number three, you're next. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Doug?
Hey, good. Cliff, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, listen, Steve wants you to sing I Got You, Babe, if McCain... Then if Obama wins, maybe he ought to pay for the lap dances and have the strippers do lap dances for you.
Yeah, but see, that's one of the perks at working at a strip club. You probably get the lap dances for free. I mean, I can see the rationale behind it. It's just kind of incongruous that a member of the, you know, morals and family values and Christianity crowd chooses that profession when he tells us he's got a college degree. You know what I mean?
That's the thing I can't understand. I mean, why is he defending the Republicans when these are the people that... if they had it their way, the people, the dancers and the people that work at these strip clubs would all be either put in prison or executed.
You mean other than the fact that he's a dimwit and a hypocrite? I don't know.
That's exactly. I mean, to me, I just don't understand the logic of this guy because, I mean, it's beyond
me. There is none. People who support the GOP don't do it from logic. They do it from emotion, which is ironic, again, because that's what they accuse us of being the touchy-feely, emotional ones. No, they're the ones that run on it. We think logically.
Right, but you see the thing
Not that we're devoid of emotions, but, I mean, when we make our decisions, we apply a logic before emotion. They don't.
I know that. And you see, the thing is, so other than the fact that it's that pseudo-macho BS that he subscribes to is the reason why he is right-wing, I don't see any point or rationale as to his whole argument. And it just seems like every time he talks, I think, well, gee, I'm hoping that people's IQ doesn't start to drop just because they're every time he runs his mouth off about...
don't worry about that, Cliff. I know this audience. If anything, it either raises their blood pressure or it entertains them momentarily, but it doesn't drop their IQ. I can vouch for that.
The blood pressure of a lot of people.
Well, look at you. It hasn't dropped yours none.
But you know what? The thing is, that's one of the reasons why I always like to do a follow-up every time he talks is because I'm always doing it just to annoy him and have him respond whatever criticism he gets from us.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds fair to me.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Cliff, thanks for checking in, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Take care. 452-4503 is our local number. Line number four, you're next up. Good morning to you.
Yeah, you know, that's very coincidental that Steve made that bet, because yesterday I called the Jerry Boyles show.
Doyle, go ahead, yeah.
And I said to the screener, I'll bet $1,000 that his man McCain, who he endorsed, wouldn't win. And the screener goes, well, you can't take a bet over the air. And I said, well, I'm not on the air. I'm, you know, off the air. You know, leave my number. It's on the caller ID. Have them call me.
Right.
$1,000. Never got a call. And then that screener laughs, and he goes, ha-ha, I got you, buddy. And he thought it was funny because he... I don't think he knew the writing was on the wall.
Well, but, I'll tell you, we'll see how much they're laughing come next Wednesday morning.
Well, I got a perfect nickname.
But you notice he didn't take the bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's always talking about how he's a big blackjack player in Vegas, you know, dropping $3,000 at the table and
well,
all that stuff.
What does that tell you? It tells you he knows the odds ain't good on this bet.
Well, anyway, I got a perfect nickname for Steve.
Okay.
The Swab Dauber of Republican politics. You have to look that up on the internet if you don't know what that means.
I'm going to have to check it out. You got
Swab
me on that
Dauber
one.
Of Republican politics.
I'll check it out.
All right.
Thanks for
you.
Checking it.
Bye.
Take care. Line number one. You're next up. Good morning. No, you're not there. Line two. Oh, come on. Stop messing around here. Line three, if you're there, you're on the air. Line three, are you there? Well, that's weird. Let me go over here. Line number one is flashing again. I will tenderly push the button. Line one, if you're there, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, here's something I don't understand. Obama does not impress me. If I were going to vote on the left, why would we not vote for a left candidate like Ralph Nader or Cynthia McKinney of the Green Party?
Because that's not where the majority of the country is. The majority likes to see itself as centrist, even though it is very definitely left-leaning. Mm-hmm. And Obama understands that, which is why he comes across more of a centrist than, you know, a fringe lefty.
Okay. If I were going to vote on the left, it would be as a protest vote.
Well, hey, that's fine. We'll take it any way we can get it. Let me ask you this. Why would you not vote on the left?
Call me a social conservative.
Okay, I'm not sure what that means, but you're a social conservative. See, I called you one. You told me to, and I obeyed.
Yes, thank you.
Call me a cab. You're a cab, you know.
I've seen the sample ballot for the election, and there are six choices. Four minor parties, the Republicans and the Democrats.
Right.
So it seems a shame to just stick to one or two choices when there are actually six.
Yeah, but in all honesty, if you don't vote for one of the two main candidates, and I would take it a step further and say if you don't vote for Barack Obama this year, you're essentially throwing your vote away.
Mm.
Normally, I would say that about the other candidates, but it's gotten to the point now in the polls and the public perception that I would say even a vote for McCain at this stage of the game is throwing your vote away.
Could be.
I mean, I have every confidence that Barack Obama will be this country's next president, deserves to be this next country's president, and that's what's going to happen. So I even put an hour of this show with Steve up on the line over it. I mean, good Lord, you know?
He deserves it.
I put my airtime where my mouth is, you know what I'm saying?
I've heard you on Sir's show.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, balance it out. Give Steve an hour a week on KLAV.
Balance it out? You got to be kidding me. If you want right-wing drivel, you've got three stations that deliver it 24/7. Anyhow, I got to run. We are out of time. I appreciate you checking in. Do it again. That's it, folks. We'll be back tomorrow with Vincent Bugliosi. Until then, you take care.